Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge studios on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Heard in Minnesota, the Dakotas, Wisconsin, and online at sportingjournalradio.com. This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX. Now here's your host, Brett Amundson.
Oh, this week we're talking about the puppies. I've got a new one coming. We're going to find out what I need for training, what I should be doing, what gear I'm going to have to get. If you're thinking about a new pup, we'll talk about some training tips. Tim Springer from Dynamic Retrievers will join us. He'll also give us some tune-up tips if you're if your pup is a seasoned veteran. Well, that doesn't mean it couldn't use a little shaping up here before the season starts, because we're closing in on hunting season. Of course, the early goose last weekend in North Dakota. Some guys are hunting already. The dove season coming up. Early Canada goose in Minnesota and the surrounding states not far away. Speaking of goose hunting, Corey Loeffler will join us too. He's got my puppy. Getting one of the puppies from his latest litter. We'll talk about what it's like to take care of a 10-puppy litter. And also, Andrew Hawkinson will join us. He had a 23-month-old, so just under 2 years, Delta Yellow Lab that got her master title already before she even turned two this year. So we'll find out what he did, how he did it, and how the whole hunt test situation works coming up this week here on the show. Joe Henry will check in from Lake of the Woods, give us an update from up there. Lucas Mertens calls in from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake to let us know how Devil's Lake is going. Ben Bredigan has got an OnX 2-minute weekly tip for us to talk about using the OnX hunt map in an area where you may not get good cell coverage. How does that work? How can you still do it? He'll explain coming up here in just a little bit. And Doug Lear, speaking of public lands that you can hunt, Doug Lear will give us an update on the plots program in North Dakota. This week's show is brought to you by OnX Hunt. Download the OnX Hunt app. Go to OnX Maps for all the details, or go to the Google Play or iTunes App Store. Also brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. By Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. Go to haybaleheights.com for more details. Also brought to you by Tazen Lake Lodge in northwest Saskatchewan. Plan a trip in 2021 for giant lake trout and northern pike at tazenlake.com. And also by Prairie Sportsman. Watch episodes on YouTube or at prairiesportsman.org.
OnX Hunt Map, the most intelligent and accurate GPS mapping tool for hunters. OnX. Now your weekly 2-minute tip from OnX. Know where you stand.
All right, Ben Bredigan from OnX Hunt is back for another 2-minute weekly tip here on the show. Ben, what about using the OnX Hunt app in an area that, say, you don't get very good cell coverage?
That's a question we get all the time. A lot of people who either hunt out west or up north, and they say, hey, this is useless to me because I don't have cell phone service. Thankfully, you're able to use your phone as a GPS without cell phone service, and you can download these maps so you can use them offline. So the way you would go do that is you go into the OnX Hunt app, and on the bottom, you could click offline maps, new offline map, and you can save your maps in high resolution, which is a 5-mile area, medium resolution, 10 miles, and a low resolution, that's 150 miles. So if I'm only hunting one or two properties, I can do that in high resolution, and I'll get all the detail, and make sure when you're downloading the maps that you have the map look the way you want it. So if you want land ownership, if you want hunt zones, if you want walk-in areas, make sure that those layers are on before you save it, and you won't have to worry about not being able to load your map. So if I'm going up north, I'm hunting grouse or hunting deer, I'll download 150 miles in a big area, and then the few key properties that I know I'm gonna hunt, I'll go in and download those in the high resolution so I can pick apart each piece of cover.
Thanks, Ben. Stay tuned each week right here on Sporting Journal Radio for your weekly 2-minute tip from OnX. Or see our video tips on the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page or YouTube channel.
OnX Hunt, maps for hunting, made by hunters. Download the OnX Hunt app on Google Play or the App Store. Or start your free trial today at onxmaps.com. OnX, know where you stand.
We got a Lake of the Woods fishing report coming up next in 30 seconds.
OnX Hunt, ever heard of it? Next time you see that guy at your local shop who always punches his tag on a stud whitetail, ask him. He'll tell you about the most trusted source for mapping, with nationwide landowner names, private and public land boundaries, including walk-in areas, map tools to mark spots, and the ability to view your maps without cell service. And that's just scratching the surface. It's your time to be known as the big buck guy around town. Download the leader in hunt mapping on Google Play or the App Store. On X Hunt. Know where you stand.
All right, now it's time to talk to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism once again. Joe, fresh off of Lake of the Woods, how was your trip up there?
Good. Things were good. You know, whenever you're catching walleyes, life's pretty darn good. And we caught a lot of walleyes, so it was a good thing.
Nice. Well, I'm assuming I saw your fishing report that you shared on social media last week. I'm assuming it's still kind of that crankbait slash crawler approach.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yep. And, you know, this is the dog days of summer on Lake of the Woods. So a lot of those fish are out in that no man's land area. But, you know, when I was out there, we found fish in other areas. And, you know, you and I have talked even off, you know, air, but not every walleye in the system's doing the same thing. So there is a big numbers of walleyes out in that no man's land, that 30 to 36, 37 feet of water. And that's the deepest part of the basin on Lake of the Woods. That's called Big Traverse Bay. And, you know, there's a lot of life out there. There's minnows, there's bloodworms, there's different hatches going on periodically. There's just a lot of stuff living out there that these fish can feed on. The tulabies are out there. And the tulabies, otherwise called ciscos, you know, when a walleye in Lake of the Woods becomes about 25 inches long, which is about 5 pounds, they still eat other stuff, but a good portion of their diet switches to tulabies. And that's where they live. So there's just a lot of life out there, Brett. And it showed on the graphs. Now, where we found our eater fish this last, just a couple of days I was fishing, it was anywhere really from 15 to about 22 feet of water. And that just happened to be the fish I found and the fish that I was fishing. However, when I went after the bigger fish, I slid deeper, and boy, you could see them down there. They were down there. And we also caught eaters pulling deep too. And then I went and experimented, you know, because we had all of our fish. So I was just messing around a little bit with the folks I was fishing with. And you know, I went up shallow and pulled fish in like 8 feet of water, looking for just a little bit of variety. And then we went out deep and, you know, went after the big ones a little bit.
All right. Well, if people want to go find that that info or keep up with what's going on up at Lake of the Woods, where should they go for more info, Joe?
You know, best way to check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Thank you, Joe. Doug Lear has the North Dakota Game and Fish Outdoors report just 30 seconds from now. As we all navigate through the tough times of 2020, finding new ways to enjoy summer has become a way of life. If you're searching for the perfect getaway this summer, look no further than the walleye capital of the world, Lake of the Woods. Fish the Rainy River, Big Traverse Bay, and don't forget you can still experience the uniqueness of the Northwest Angle. For your best chance to catch big fish, go where the big fish are, Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Now it's time for your North Dakota Game and Fish Outdoors Report with Doug Lear. It's brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. Visit haybaleheights.com.
The 2020 North Dakota Game and Fish Market Private Land Open to Sportsman Guide is now available. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. This year's Private Land Open to Sportsman Guide, or PLOTS Guide, is currently available online at the Game and Fish Department website, gf.nd.gov. Now, in addition, the free printed PLOTS guides, those will be available in mid-August at most licensed vendors and other locations throughout the state. The guide this year will feature about 800,000 PLOTS acres. Now, because the guide is printed in mid-August, some PLOTS tracks highlighted in the guide may have been removed from the program since the time of printing. There will also be some PLOTS tracks where the habitat and condition of the track will have changed significantly. Conversely, Game and Fish may have added new tracks to the program after the guide went to press. What that means is, to minimize possible confusion, Game and Fish will update PLOTS maps weekly on our website. So if you're heading outdoors hunting, yes, have the physical PLOTS guide in your hand, but also if you have digital access on your phone or mobile device, that's a great way to keep track if there has been any kind of a change, or prior to the weekend heading out, print off the sheets for the area that you're going to be hunting. Our PLOTS guide features maps highlighting these walk-in areas. They're identified in the field by the inverted triangular yellow signs, as well as other public lands are listed within the PLOTS guide. Here's one thing. The guides are not available to mail, so hunters need to pick one up at your local vendor, or Game and Fish office, or again, going back to it, printing off individual maps from the website is just a great idea. Again, the full plots guide is available online right now at the Game and Fish Department website. 800,000 plots acres in 2020. That's this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
Thank you, Doug. Lucas Mertens has a Devil's Lake fishing report for us next. All right, now we're going to run up to Devil's Lake, check in with Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. And Lucas, it sounds like it's been a hot week in a combine for you.
Yeah, well, someone is in the combine, but I'm not. it's hot up here. It's mid-90s.
Oofta.
So it's good weather for combine and grains. We're combining and barley right now. So got to make some beer.
Yeah, that sounds good. It's a good day for making beer when it's that hot. How has the harvest been coming along?
It's just kind of starting in the Devil's Lake region. A little bit of wheat, some field peas are coming off, and some barley is starting to come off. So early goose season started on Saturday. If you guys are knocking the locals around pretty good, and should have some fields off, you know, for the main waterfowl season.
Yeah, how soon do you think geese find your fields when you start taking stuff off like that?
Well, the local birds find them right away because they usually ate half of it to start with.
I suppose.
So they kind of know where it is already, so it doesn't take them long to get into a barley field or a pea field. We obviously haven't seen any migrating birds yet, but we're probably not that far away from seeing some of that.
Yeah, it's getting to be that time of year. Hot days, guys are out catching fish out on Devil's Lake still?
Yeah, the fishing's been good. I know the fish cleaning station at our campsite was working overtime the last couple weekends.
All right, and people can come up there. They can do some fall fishing yet up there and stay at one of your places or try to get in. I know you get a little bit busy during the hunting season, but people might be able to get some lodging at your place there.
Yeah, they could give us a call. Direct is 701-351-3130. They can check Facebook, or they can go on our website, haybaleheights.com.
Lucas Mertens, Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Thanks for the time here on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Broadcasting from the Tazen Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
As we discussed last week here on this show, we were talking about pheasant hunting. A good dog can make you at least look like a better hunter. They can always make you a better hunter, give you more success when you're out there in the field. And one of the best parts of walking through grass with a young pup is seeing that light bulb go off as they figure things out as they get a little bit older. With my lab Mika getting ready for her 10th season, it was time to bring a new partner into the house. And we're going to go through some tips for new pups, getting your seasoned veteran ready for the fall hunting seasons, and some safe ways to travel with your four-legged companions as well. Our guests today include Corey Loeffler from the DRC Call Company. Corey, how are you doing?
I'm doing very good. How are you?
Not bad. Thanks for coming on the show. Also, Tim Springer from Dynamic Retrievers. Tim, how's it going?
Good. Hello.
Thanks.
Going good.
Thanks for being here. And also Andy Hawkinson from, you're from Eden Prairie, Andy, is that right?
Yep. Yeah, that's correct.
And you've got a 23-month-old yellow lab named Delta, who earned her master title earlier this year. Congratulations, and thanks for being on the show.
Yep. Woo-hoo! Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Corey, let's start with you. Your garage got a little squeakier here a couple of weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. Yeah. We had a litter of puppies in there, and Red, who Tim is a little bit familiar with, she gave birth to 10 little yellow labs, and one of them being your new little yellow lab. So
I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh, puppy delivery.
Our ratings just went way up.
Hey, 3 weeks old right now, so eyes are just starting to open up, and they're kind of getting a little bit mobile, cruising around. They had them outside a little bit in the grass, and my daughters, I've got three daughters, and they absolutely love having the puppies around because it's just nonstop love all the time. And I think it's really good for socialization and just getting the puppies started on the right track, just having all that human interaction with them all the time. And it's almost human overload, I think, for how much attention and time that they spend with the little critters. But they turn out great when they're, you know, 7 weeks old, ready for their new homes. They're absolutely just ready to love and learn and ready to trust humans, and that's good. So we're pretty proud of our product when we're done with it, when we're done with the 7 weeks, just because of how much time they've had spent with people. So do you see that, Tim?
Yeah, that socialization is so important, and you never can go back and, you know, do it with, if a dog is older and has not been socialized, you really, that dog is never going to be as good as it could have been had it been properly socialized, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you only get one chance at those first 6 months of life. That's it. So you want to do it right the first time.
Yeah, the worst dogs we get in for training are people that said, I didn't want to ruin it, so I didn't do anything. And it just sat there and did not get socialized, and that dog's brain development is not as strong as one where people tried to train the puppy and did some stuff wrong. That's actually a better outcome than doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Are you doing like any introduction to like decoys or scent or wings, anything like that, Corey? Or what's your plan there once the puppy's a little older?
Yeah, when they get a little bit older and a little bit more mobile, and they're just pretty wobbly on their feet right now. They're just starting to kind of learn how to walk on some decent ground, and like the fake grass carpet stuff, they can kind of walk around on that. So, but yeah, after that, then we'll start introducing them a little bit to some loud noises when they're feeding and banging some pots and pans together. And then, some duck wings and pigeon wings stuff in the freezer that I have, drag those around a little bit and kind of play some fetch and, sort of help encourage that retrieve drive a little bit with them, and, kind of play some keep away and get them introduced to a lot of things. Usually we'll have a chance to get them introduced to water before they go home too. That's just kind of up in the air depending on water temperature and stuff, but usually we should be able to get their feet wet a little bit.
Should be good in the summertime to get them in warm water, but definitely keep little dogs out of cold water for sure.
Oh yeah. Yep. Not a good deal to scare them away from too cold water right away. That'll put you way back.
And I want to talk a little bit more about the training coming up here in a little bit, but let's just jump back to having a litter, Corey. What you've done this a few times now, and 10 pups, that's a sizable amount of puppies to have rolling around there. What's probably the hardest part of that process?
I mean, it all starts with the night of whelping and when she's actually having the litter, the day whenever she's whenever the female starts, you want to stay with her and kind of keep some supplies on hand so that you can make sure the puppies are coming out and she's not having any trouble. About 50% of the puppies usually come out breech or feet first, and that's not ideal. It's what it is. It happens, and they struggle with those puppies more than the ones that come out head first. So you're going to want to be there just to assist with that stuff if any of the puppies do get held up in the birth canal, and then kind of helping them break their individual little sacs open and get oxygen to their lungs right away once they're cut off from the mother's oxygen supply. So getting oxygen to those lungs and making sure the little puppies come out of there breathing and hopefully alive, and then just kind of keeping an eye on mom, making sure she's doing good. There's a lot of stress. It's very taxing on the female to go through something like that, putting out 10 puppies on the ground. So
I can imagine.
Yeah, you just want to be there, and yeah, absolutely.
How long?
Just be there and then get them latched on right away, because that colostrum, she's producing that colostrum, and you want to get those puppies some of that, get them a little boost of energy right away, and she kind of takes care of most of the work, but you just want to oversee it. So the nights can get pretty long. I think this labor started at 9 p.m. and ended at 5 a.m. So that was a good night for me.
How many times did another puppy come out and you're like, geez, another one? Is she done?
There was a break between the 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock hour. She didn't have any puppies during then, so but she, I could still feel some inside of her. So I knew there was more to come. And then, yeah, she popped, I don't know, four more out after that. And so
well, I'm pretty, was pretty excited fun. About having a new mascot here for Sporting Journal Radio. I know if you look at the logo, there's an outline of a lab in the logo, and that's Mika. So now I'm gonna have to build a new logo for this dog, I guess, Corey. And, and you know, I want to talk about naming a dog because that's pretty important. And, you know, I thought maybe, Corey, we'd have a contest. You know, so if people watching this or listening have some good dog names, we want to do a contest, maybe give away some gear and some different things for the winner. But talk about, and any of you guys can weigh in on this, but talk about how important it is to pick out, when you're picking out a dog's name when it comes to training and just everything that you have to deal with that dog.
Well, one of the biggest things, I think, is that the name does not sound like a common command you use. So like sit, that sound, you're going to say sit and the dog thinks you're saying its name and actually takes off instead of sitting.
I've definitely called my dog something that sounds a lot like that, but it's usually when she's doing something wrong. But yeah.
And back is another command too, you know, that we use back. In sending dogs on blind, Jack, you know, names like that, that sound similar. Definitely something you want to stay away from if possible.
Yep, and then just keeping the name of the new dog different than any other dog you have in the household.
That's one thing I found that's very important, you know, being in the, whether it's guiding or, you know, when your dog is around other dogs, it seems like, especially in the hunting world, you'll have a lot of the same names, you know, like they'll name them after shotguns or they'll name them, you know, after something in the hunting world. So I've been out in the field somewhere where there's 6, 7, 8 dogs and three of them have the same name. So when
was
someone,
it Nelly?
Nelly's been in there. Benelli. Remy.
Oh.
So I always, you know, try to encourage people to pick something that's simple and easy, but doesn't sound like, you know, anybody else's, you know, some a little bit different. So you don't have three of them in the field when you're out there hunting. All right. More dog training tips coming up next with Tim Springer from Dynamic Retrievers, Corey Loeffler from the DRC Call Company, and also Andy Hawkinson. Stay there. Devil's Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today.
On X Hunt. Ever heard of it? Next time you see that guy at your local shop who always punches his tag on a stud whitetail, ask him. He'll tell you about the most trusted source for mapping, with nationwide landowner names, private and public land boundaries, including walk-in areas, map tools to mark spots, and the ability to view your maps without cell service. And that's just scratching the surface. It's your time to be known as the big buck guy around town. Download the leader in hunt mapping on Google Play or the App Store. On X Hunt. Know where you stand.
As we all navigate through the tough times of 2020, finding new ways to enjoy summer has become a way of life. If you're searching for the perfect getaway this summer, look no further than the walleye capital of the world, Lake of the Woods. Fish the Rainy River, Big Traverse Bay, and don't forget you can still experience the uniqueness of the Northwest Angle. For your best chance to catch big fish, go where the big fish are. Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back on Sporting Journal Radio. Our guests are Tim Springer from Dynamic Retrievers, Corey Loeffler from the DRC Call Company, and also Andy Hawkinson, who got a master title for his pup this year that wasn't even 2 years old yet. Tim, what's the best way to start training a puppy?
Keep socializing that puppy. Take it with you. Expose it. I don't really consider it real training, but it really prepares that young dog to be really well trained later on. And what I mean is the brain development and allowing that puppy to learn how to learn, you know, for treats and keeping it fun and lots of little short sessions I mean like a minute long, but numerous ones per day. And just having that dog be with you, those are the best dogs that we get into our training program, or that I see amateur trainers develop to the highest potential. I know Corey and Andy are really good about all that with their pups.
Andy, what kind of tips did you have when you brought Delta home? Did you do anything like that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, Bill Hillman was a huge resource for me. He has a really good puppy program, like up to 6-7 months, I'd say. So the two biggest things that he emphasizes is the command sit. So teaching your dog to be obedient and just to chase something, you know, just to go out, not necessarily bring it back to hand yet, but just to go out and just have that desire to go out and retrieve and have fun and just enjoy life, you know, until the real obedience starts, you know, with the training through Tim's program or any other program out there. So those are probably some of the biggest tips that I have for folks too.
And next thing you know, before she's two, she's got a master title.
Yeah.
One thing that I did a lot with Rue, and similar to what Andy's talking about in the Bill Hillman program early on in the socialization stuff, but I would take Rue anywhere to the grocery store. I'd throw her right in the cart, and I would bring a pocket full of dog food with me. And I mean, you bring a 7 to 9 week old puppy to the grocery store, and about every person's going to come up to you wanting to pet the puppy. And I would have that pocket of dog food, and I'd say, yeah, you can pet the puppy, but could you please give it 3 or 4 pieces of this food first? So now the situation now with this stranger coming up to pet the puppy all of a sudden just turned positive, because I got treats, and then it's new people. So new people are awesome. And I thought that was very beneficial. And if I had a half a cart full of food or something and ended up getting kicked out of the grocery store because I had a dog in there, I'd just leave. Okay, bye.
My dog had a very positive interaction with a young child at an early age, where I think we were at a softball tournament or something, and they were serving hot dogs. And I turned around for one moment, and she got a hot dog out of that kid's hand. And ever since when she sees a 4-year-old walking around, she goes looking for hot dogs. But she learned. So having that master title at 23 months, I mean, that can't be all that common, right? To be able to have that success at that young age for a dog.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. I think last time I checked, last week, she was the 9th youngest dog in the country that got awarded a master title out of 450 this year. So, wow. Yeah, she's pretty special. I mean, if I had to do it again, you know, I probably would have been a little bit more patient with her. But yeah, it's definitely been a fun journey so far with her. And she's taken me some great places and met some new people. So yeah, it's been a blast.
I think it's especially cool that it's only Andy's, I think, second dog you've trained, right, Andy?
Correct.
So it's not like, you know, maybe a pro trainer that's trained thousands of dogs does that. It's not as big of a deal as an amateur training their own dog by themselves and getting it accomplished that soon.
So that gives us all hope then.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Especially my first dog, definitely. Yeah. I mean, my first dog, I mean, even to this day, he still has a lot of holes. I mean, we've had a lot of success. I mean, he's 6 now, but to being able to start over with a brand new puppy, 7-8 weeks old, and just do it all over again the right way through all the networking I've made with my first dog, I mean, it's definitely paid dividends to progressing a dog a lot faster, and she's had a lot less holes and a lot more capability than my older one does at his age now. So yeah, it's been fun.
And Tim, that's kind of what your DIY program is for, right? Guys like Andy or myself and Corey that are going to be training dogs at home. And both these guys went through your program too, right?
Correct. Yep. Yeah, the DIY was an idea that hatched with me trying to help people train their own dogs. And they would train their own dogs and come out like once a month, and they'd be way off track. We started using like cell phone video to see what they were doing every day. And then I'm sending them little short video clips, not watching a 2-hour video on training a dog, but instead watching like a 1-minute video clip for what to do the next day or 2 or 3, and then me getting the video back from them, and then, you know, tell them what they're doing right and wrong, and then send the next video perhaps.
Boy, technology allows you to, you know, your program is also almost built for COVID, right? I mean, technology is allowing us to do so much nowadays, work from home, whatever. You're kind of ahead of your time, Tim, I think.
Yeah, I'm not very technologically advanced, but I did come up with something, and it has been working out really good. We're improving it all the time, and I really give a lot of credit to that person that wants to train their own dog, because that was me once upon a time, and I just want to try to prevent some of the mistakes that I made with people and help people train their own dogs and you know, like family hunting dogs. It's so hard for people to let those dogs go to a trainer for 3, 4, 6 months too, not to mention the money, and also people want to learn how to do it themselves.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you know, Mika was my first dog that I worked with, and it's funny, maybe Andy, you can talk about this, but I know now, getting ready for my next one, there's already a couple of things I know where I screwed up with her that I want to work on with the new pup. What were some of the changes from your first dog to your second dog that you worked on?
I think the biggest thing was just obedience. I mean, a lot of times you go to a hunt test or even out hunting in the field with your dog. I mean, you see a lot of dogs breaking, meaning they run as soon as the bird is shot or gunshot goes off. So just being able to solidify those obedience commands, so whistle sits on blinds, and just steadiness around you as the handler, and also being able to keep the dog quiet and still, it just makes for a much more enjoyable hunt, and a lot makes your success opportunity a lot greater, even within the hunt test world too. So I think obedience is definitely the one thing that is of emphasis if you're going to start over with a brand new puppy, for sure.
Cause that
drive is going to be there with the dog. I mean, if you're getting a really well bred dog, more than likely you're going to have a dog that's going to want to go out and get the bird. So the ability is there. It's just a matter of just kind of toning it down and controlling it.
I think that's a huge part of owning a good gun dog or a good hunt test running dog. Just building that super solid base right from a 7 week old puppy and starting with a good foundation and a good, well-behaved, obedient, steady dog, because not only if your dog breaks at a hunt test, well, you're kicked out of the hunt test and there goes your entry fee. But from a safety point of things, a dog breaking in the field while hunting can be extremely dangerous. I've been around the hunting game a long time and I've heard some horror stories that go along with dogs breaking, and they don't end well. So having a good, obedient, steady dog can really pay huge, huge dividends.
Tim, when somebody says, I don't want my dog to break, what's the first step for them?
Well, the first step starts at about 9 weeks of age of teaching that sit command for fun and focusing on a balanced training program from the beginning. So some of the older school methods that are still out there involve like getting the dog like super ramped up, like just insanely crazy to retrieve. And I think instead we want to have that desire, but we want it to be balanced out with obedience and be working on obedience and retrieving, having a strong retrieve desire, but not that total crazy, just nutso dog. We want to keep things kind of balanced, so to speak.
And what are some of the other big challenges people go through when they're training a dog? Breaking, like force fetching, or what are some of the other tough ones?
Yeah, you know, my own weaknesses as a new trainer when I was first doing it, and what I've seen in hundreds, if not thousands, of people's weakness is they want to kind of glaze over that boring, important stuff, like the really making the hold solid, and the fetch solid, and sit and all the obedience solid, and the collar conditioning. They sort of kind of do it, and then later on down the road, they have holes in their program, is what we call it, which just means the early work wasn't done thoroughly enough. And now there's issues we're having in the field that we can't correct because the dog doesn't understand the correction.
All right, more training tips. In fact, we're going to ask Tim next, at what age do you introduce one of those training collars to your new puppy? It's all coming up on Sporting Journal Radio. Devil's Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today. As we all navigate through the tough times of 2020, finding new ways to enjoy summer has become a way of life. If you're searching for the perfect getaway this summer, look no further than the walleye capital of the world, Lake of the Woods. Fish the Rainy River, Big Traverse Bay, and don't forget you can still experience the uniqueness of the Northwest Angle. For your best chance to catch big fish, go where the big fish are. Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
On X Hunt. Ever heard of it? Next time you see that guy at your local shop who always punches his tag on a stud whitetail, ask him. He'll tell you about the most trusted source for mapping. With nationwide landowner names, private and public land boundaries, including walk-in areas, map tools to mark spots, and the ability to view your maps without cell service. And that's just scratching the surface. It's your time to be known as the big buck guy around town. Download the leader in hunt mapping on Google Play or the App Store. On X Hunt. Know where you stand.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Tazen Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back. Our guest, Tim Springer from Dynamic Retrievers, Corey Loeffler, DRC Call Company, and Andy Hawkinson. What do you do to prepare for a hunting trip to make sure your dog is comfortable and safe?
I think the first thing is just checking the local regulations of where you're going, especially into Canada. You want to make sure that the food you're bringing in, you know, meets the local regulations of going into Canada. I haven't been stopped yet, but I mean, the chance is definitely there. So making sure that that you're meeting the Canadian requirements is definitely of importance. Secondly, I mean, I always recommend taking frequent stops and hydrating. People often forget how dehydrated the dogs get on a longer trip, I'd say over 8 hours. So making frequent stops and letting them get out, go to the bathroom, giving them water is definitely important for sure. And when you do arrive at your destination, I mean, just give them a little bit of patience. I mean, their first day is they're probably not going to be, they're not going to probably be charging as hard as they normally would before you left for the trip because they are tired. So just giving them kind of a day to relax if possible is definitely important too, to prevent injury and get the most out of your dog on the trip.
Corey, I think I've seen you have like a small fortress in the back of your pickup for your dogs when you travel.
A couple times, yeah. I believe in used Gunner kennels. They're the original double wall roto molded crate or kennel for a dog, and they've got the highest crash test rating. So I really value the kennel's durability and the dog's safety inside of that kennel. So that's what I like to use in traveling. Put a nice orthopedic mat in there, and then I hang a water bucket about half full with some good clean water in there for the dog, and that seems to work really well. Just keep a little air moving for the dogs. I always have it a lot cooler in the back wherever they are, because they like some good fresh airflow. So I don't pack too much gear around the kennel and the vents of the kennel and stuff, but yeah, I just like to keep them comfortable and safe most of all. Got a lot of time and a lot of effort and energy into these dogs. I don't want anything to happen with some dumb car accident or something.
A lot of money too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Tim, what part of your DIY program can you teach the dog to drive on some of those long road trips so I can climb back into that orthopedic mat and take a little nap?
Yeah, we're working on some breeding program with Corey of these car driving dogs that we're trying to breed, but we haven't really got it mastered quite yet. But working on it.
We got a lot of wrecked cars, but yeah.
Okay, so like the safety thing is a huge thing. I think not having a dog like running around loose in the back of the truck or in the front, even if you do get an accident and that dog can get flung out of there, and there's some sad stories there. But really, the way you travel with the dog should not be a new thing for the dog. You know what I mean? You should already have a system of of going training or going somewhere and your dog's going with you, your dog should already be accustomed to that procedure, you know, your routine. I'm traveling with that dog. And then I also would add about water. When your water supply for that dog gets about halfway low, I would add to it. So you don't just switch over to a different water source that can cause like stomach problems and you have diarrhea on the road and it's a big old mess. So kind of switch that water over gradually and you'll have less problems like that.
I got, do you guys have any fun diarrhea stories? Cause those always play well on the radio.
Yeah. You know, so you want to be a dog trainer, you know, picture goes around once in a while. It's a crate, you know, that's just covered from head to toe in diarrhea, you know?
The worst part, I think, is the smell. Like one time I came home, I was at a wedding, my buddy's wedding reception, and I came home and Mika was pretty young and I was tired. Like it was a late night. I was ready to go to sleep. I probably had one eye closed. And as soon as I opened the door to my house, like the smell punched me in the face. And I had her in like one of those wire kennels. So it was in the corner, and thankfully I had hardwood floors, but, the walls, like halfway up the wall, everything. Yeah. And it was, so that was another, that was fun.
It's, there's a lot of stories. I had a friend they were redoing their hardwood floors and that happened and it all got down in the cracks and they had to take like a butter knife and get in there and like scrape it all out.
Gross.
Yeah.
Getting back to your DIY program, Coy or Andy, either one of you guys, if somebody says, hey, you guys went through this, you know, what should I expect going through this program?
Come on, you can start, Corey. Go ahead.
Oh, I would say the biggest thing, the most beneficial thing that I learned and the biggest questions that I had was all about the e-collar and everything e-collar. I think they're a very intimidating tool and can be very detrimental or the absolute best training tool ever for a dog. But to find the exact time and place and how and when to use that thing, Tim has opened my eyes to you know, a whole new light of timing and corrections and how big the corrections should be, when to give them. I mean, that was something I really, really struggled with early on. And I think a lot of people do. A lot of people are very intimidated with e-collars, and that just, I mean, it cleared it up a lot. I still do have questions, but I think I try to continuously learn all the time. And I think that's a good part of being, you know, hopefully a successful dog trainer, is just trying to learn all the time. And I talk to Tim frequently, and most questions revolve around the e-collar. So that's my two cents.
Well, Tim, would you say the first thing somebody should do, like what I did when I first got that collar, is me and a buddy had a couple of beers and then wrapped around our arms and gave ourselves a little tickle, just so we knew what we were working with more than anything. You know?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, people, you know, call it a stimulation. I mean, it's definitely a shock. I mean, it hurts, you know? So, yeah, I think one thing, the biggest thing, if you just want to sum it up quickly, is that we should all strive to never use an electronic collar on a dog in a manner dog not understand. Often out of frustration, electronic collars are used. The dog doesn't understand the correction and the collar is blamed when really it was the person's fault for not doing their important, boring, important stuff in the yard and their foundation work.
Let's talk about nutrition. Tim, you've probably seen what Corey feeds his dogs. When you guys talk about, because Corey, you actually break it down pretty well. A lot of people just go to the store and see, you know, what the protein or fat content is on the side. You actually, you know, you incorporate a lot of different food into your feeding schedule. For a new pup, let's start with a young pup. What do you like to feed them?
Yeah, I would say a well-known brand. You know, lately there's been some problems with dog foods, and it's always like some kind of weird, you know, brand that people think they're doing better for their dog by buying this $100 rare food, and then it has some mold problem and kills dogs or have organ problems and things like that. I think the high quality food from one of the more well-known companies is probably your safest bet.
What about a guy picking out his first whistle?
Well, they make whistles now with like a barrel on them to project the sound away from you and protect your hearing. Oh. So I would, you know, just the straight little whistle, I think, is really hard on your ears. I would pick a whistle that's reliable and stick with that whistle. Don't change, you know, midway in a hunt to a different whistle because the dog may not respond to it. It's got to be what they're used to hearing.
Speaking of that, Corey, we're just a couple of weeks away from early goose. I know I'm chomping at the bit a little bit. I know some guys have been out in North Dakota. Sounds like it's been kind of hit or miss over there a little bit. Some guys finding some success.
Yep. A little bit of success, but more scouting than hunting.
Yeah. And that's kind of that name of that game. I've had some good shoots over there. I've also spent a lot of money on fuel. Didn't make it over there this year, but we're here. I mean, it's for most people, there's about another month or so before the regular waterfowl season starts. You got dove season here on the first. There's going to be some hunting opportunities. But I think for the majority of people, we're into that last month before a season really gets going, maybe month and a half before, you know, guys are really running around for pheasants. Tim, is there anything a guy, you know, what should a guy be doing right now other than just exercising his pup? Maybe he's got a middle-aged dog that's got some experience under his belt. What should they be doing out there right now to get his dog ready?
Well, for a middle-aged dog, I like doing a lot of drills in the yard. You don't have to travel somewhere and train on 1,000 acres. You can set up some bumpers in your backyard and work on some lining and casting drills. But also, this is more for the newer dog, is when you're getting your hunting gear out, why not set it out and expose that dog to all the things that's going to be exposed to when it's hunting. So there's no excuse for a dog being afraid of a robo duck on opening day. You should already have that thing spinning in the backyard and been throwing some retrieves. Should have the dog in and out of the boat, you know, the mud hut. However you're going to hunt, you should have trained on that at home in your yard or whatever. And a good time to do it is right now when you're getting all your gear out and going through it.
You have a preference on types or sizes of bumpers?
Yeah, I really like white bumpers because a dog can clearly see the bumper when doing a drill. Orange ones, sometimes they'll run over the top of it and the dog has done the right thing but just misses it by a little bit and then can't find it. Unless I'm working on developing their nose, then I would throw an orange bumper into some cover and they'll have to sniff for it a little bit more.
All right, Tim, thank you very much. Also, Andy Hawkinson, thanks for being on the show. And, of course, Corey Loeffler. We have more of this interview that will be available on the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page and the Sporting Journal Radio YouTube channel. Plus, you can see that adorable puppy that Corey's got at a shop there that I'm going to be getting here in September. And you can see some videos from Tim's methods and more. So watch the video coming soon to the Sporting Journal Radio social media platforms. All right, we'll see you next week.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba LLC. If you've got a question, comment, or story idea for us, send us an email. Go to sportingjournalradio.com. While you're there, you can learn how to advertise on the show and visit our store for hats, hoodies, coffee mugs, and more. Go to sportingjournalradio.com.